You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Let's read our scripture reading in Ephesians, 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Well, good morning. Derek and Sherry are out of town, so Derek gave me a call and asked that I might share a few things with you. Boy, it feels funny up here, doesn't it? Well, let me open up with prayer and we'll get started. I want to talk today about the game of life. So let's open up with prayer. Father, we pause now and just want to thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for all that he has accomplished and continues to accomplish, Lord. And we thank you that each one of us, hopefully here, that we have accepted you as our Savior. And if not, Lord, we pray that there's a restlessness to do so. But Lord, we need to understand that we need a Savior because we are born sinners. And that the only way to get to heaven and have that eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for this time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ. We know that the conception was now and the birth was in September. And we know that in ignorance a lot of people do worship that way, Lord. But we know that the true meaning of Christmas is in the Son, Christ Jesus. And we just pray that each one of us would be able to bestow that on those around us and to let them know the hope that's within us. And we just thank you for that privilege. And thank you again for the forgiveness we have in him and just the position on high. And before the foundation of the world, you loved us. And you prepared a way for us, Lord. We thank you for that gift. What a glorious gift that is, Lord. Pray for the lesson to follow that would give glory to your Son, Christ. And we just thank you to that end for it in Christ. And we pray it for his sake. Amen. Well, Derek thought it was a great opportunity for me to get up and share with you some of the things that I've been going through. Of course, I probably didn't agree with them because there are times when I still think about it and I start thinking about it too much. And then, a little anxiety comes over me and then either get panicked or I start crying like a baby. So I might either panic or cry like a baby with you today. But those of you who don't know, it was on October 26th that I suffered a massive stroke on the left side of my body. And for the previous month, I had symptoms. And those symptoms started with waking up one morning with numbness on my left side. I had strength. I could still move, but it was numb. And I thought, well, I could deal with that. I can, go through the day, put on my clothes, drive my car. I can do all the things that I used to do before. And then a week or two passed, and we're trying to figure out what's causing this numbness. And then one Thursday morning, I'll never forget, I woke up and I lost what they call proprioception. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I've learned a lot of words the hard way. Okay, a small medical degree being in the hospital for a month. But proprioception is literally the ability to close your eyes and do something like that. We take that for granted. So on my left side, I miss. I'm getting better. At least I hit my face. I'm trying to get it back. I lost that proprioception that morning. And all of a sudden, things were a little bit different because now I can't type as well as I used to. And those of you who know me, I'm on the computer a lot. Typing's affected. My error rate goes up. All of a sudden, I'm knocking glasses over. As I'm walking, I run into things and I don't know about it. Well, what was that? I see something in the corner of my eye and I think, what is that? And that's my hand. So I'm starting to think, okay, Lord, I can deal with this. But I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll all go away and I'll just be back to myself. So I go along and now I'm numb without proprioception. But I have my strength. I'm strong. I can open things. I can open jars. I can lift a cup and walk. And then time passes, and I go on a business trip, and I'm in Salt Lake City. And one morning, I wake up, and now I'm losing strength in my left side. I can't reach up and button this, and I tried this morning to button this for you. I'm sorry, I came without a tie. It was an exercise in frustration this morning. But I can do my pants now. That's the good news. So I couldn't do this, and I couldn't tie my shoes. And now I'm out of town, and I'm alone. And I call Kathy, and I'm afraid because, you know, it's getting worse. And I don't know what's going on, but something's going to. So I call him like, look, you got to schedule. We need these doctors lined up in this order and pronto. So she's frantically calling and setting these appointments up. So the next day I get home, and I go, and they think for that month that I'm, from September 29th until October 26th, they're thinking it's a pinched nerve. And we're going to doctors, and we're going to orthopedics, and they're like, oh, yeah, pinched nerve, you know, we're just going to cut your neck and, you know, graft this. And I'm like, oh, you know, time out, you know. I just got my first cavity last year. What are you talking about, cut me, you know? I don't think that's in order. So they say, well, there's no pain. You know, they keep asking me these questions, and I didn't have pain, and I didn't, but, you know, I'm numb. And now I'm losing strength, and I don't have proprioception. So what's going on? So they schedule an epidural steroid injection. And this is where they go in with an epidural. So I can now say, ladies, I've had an epidural too. I just didn't have to carry it for, you know, something for 9 months, right? But so they give me an epidural and steroid injection in my neck. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's, you know, I'm going to get that. And the next day I'm going to wake up and everything's fine. So I get one of those. And the next day I'm at home. It's Friday. And I'm working from home, and then I go to sleep that night, and Saturday morning I wake up, and now my left hand and arm are gone. As a matter of fact, my left hand and arm, I fell out of bed, and it woke me up. And I got up, and I'm now holding it, and I'm, you know, I'm doing this with it. So I'm thinking, I'm still going in the wrong direction. You know, there's a pattern here, and I'm just not going in the right direction. What's going on? So we call the doctor, and he says, well, you know, you need to go to the ER. And, of course, just like Roto-Rooter, it's always on the weekend when these things happen, you know. So here we, Saturday morning, traipse into the emergency room. And the ER doctors look me over, and they think, we tell them this whole month story, and they think it's a pinched neck, so they put an IV in me, and they're blasting me with steroids. That's what they give spinal victims to, you know, decompress that. So I remember just the awful taste in my mouth. Boy, it was terrible. Just an awful, awful taste, and I'm a little nauseous now. Well, the doctors ordered another round of pictures for my brain, and being a small person, I don't quite fit in the closed MRI, and I think that's a blessing, because if you've ever been stuck in a tube, it's not a fun thing, because they tried. They said, well, let's try, and they're cramming me, and my shoulders are hitting, and they go, well, I don't think you're going to fit. You know, I'm like, well, please don't jam me, you know, because I could just see me stuck in there. Oh, it just was not a picture of fun. So they call an ambulance. They have me get in, and I ride in an ambulance over to an open MRI, which is over on 63rd and Broadway Extension. And they order some pictures of my brain. Now, if you've never had an MRI, you don't want one, okay, because MRIs I've had now, let's say, probably six or seven now. I had another round this past week. And I remember riding the ambulance, and of course, now I lost my left arm and my hand, but I can walk just fine, okay? And they're wanting to wheelchair me to and from the ambulance, and I'm protesting because I in my own strength can still take care of myself. So I said, look, we can walk in. So I convinced the ambulance people to let me walk into the MRI place. But I now, I get in there, and the technician, I remember telling me that the doctor had ordered a brain MRI and a neck MRI. Well, I'd had a brain MRI about a month ago, and it was negative. See, they looked for stroke in the very beginning when I woke up with that numbness, and it was negative. So I told the technician in a very polite way, I'm not having another brain MRI. If you want to see my pictures of my brain, we did that a month ago, and that was nothing. So I remember the technician getting a, you know, oh my gosh, the patient's protesting look on his face. And the next thing I know, Dr. Conley, that's a test. I have to give you all the doctors in order. Dr. Conley showed up, who was on call that weekend. I had never seen a Dr. Conley. I'd seen two doctors previous to that, but a Dr. Conley shows up and says, well, guess what? The symptoms don't match the diagnosis. Something else is going on here. And for the first time, I'm thinking, something else? This has been a pinched nerve in the neck. That, you know, they did the epidural. You know, nope, something else is going on. We need to take a brain MRI. So at this time, I'm getting now a little more nauseous. And if you ever had a brain MRI, let me share it with you. You lay on a flat board. It's like a board. You lay on your back. They put your head in a device that kind of just comes down and they clamp your head like this. They Velcro your forehead. And they ask you to, you know, lay perfectly still and relax. Okay. Now, I'm sitting there thinking every thought, and I'm thinking, okay, what is this going on, Lord? What, you know, what's happening here? And I'm thinking, well, I'm nauseous. I'm sure I'm probably just going to throw up into this mask and die on my own vomit. And I started thinking about the obituary. I started thinking, you know, man of 39 dies in his own vomit when he was getting a brain MRI, you know? I mean, this is terrible. But you start thinking about these things all of a sudden, and it starts to, you know, starts to come into your mind. And I was like, Lord, okay, what, you know, I'm taking everything along. So we get the pictures. I walk back to the ambulance. The ambulance takes me back to Mercy. Now, since I have a steroid drip, they have to put me in a room that's called step down. Step down is right step below ICU. Okay, it's a monitored room. I go into step down, and I'm sitting in the chair, and Kathy's talking with me. And I forget what we're talking about, but all I remember is I was answering a question. And now, not only is my arm and hand gone, but my speech is gone, my face is gone, my left side goes. And I remember I couldn't talk. I tried to talk. It was just like my tongue was stuck in my lips or something. And all I remember is Kathy screaming and snapping her fingers, "Stay with me." Well, I just stay with me. And at that moment, I thank God that I had salvation. And I thought of these verses here. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, the God who is rich in mercy for his great love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, I thought, you know, at that moment, I was so thankful that I was a Christian. I remember just being, thank you, Lord, you know, this is it, you know, I'm ready. Here I come, you know. I'm going to see my dad. I'm going to see Pastor McLean, and here I come. Now, the second thought I had was I was glad I had a good insurance portfolio. Okay. Because the third thought I had was I was very, very distraught that I was potentially going to leave my family without a father. And I had them in that order. I'll never forget that. And it was very, very awakening that at this point, and at that time I know Kathy, the nurse was speaking to her, and I said, I don't know what they're treating him for, but he's having a massive stroke. And I remember they asked, can you move your leg, can you move your arm, and I remember feeling nothing on the left side. And somehow they got me in bed, and you know, in about an hour my speech came back. I was able to communicate again. But I remember that thought of, thank God that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Because there I was dead, and, you know, I thought I was dying. And that feeling of peace was there. I was so thankful. I just remember how thankful I was. Now, as time passed, I started the recovery process. And I started thinking, trying to collect my thoughts, because I knew I was going to be asked to share those at some point in time. And in doing so, I thought of the game of life. Now, I don't know if you, what age group you're in, but when we grew up, there was a game called the game of life. It was one of my favorite games because it had a neat board, had a little car and little pegs for people and this really neat dial. You spin it and it kind of told you, and you would go around the board on the game of life, and every position you would either get children or get married, and you would literally have this game of life. And I thought, you know, we all play in the Adamic game of life. In Genesis chapter 2, we know that in verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed nostrils of the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the Adamic game board was set, okay, at that time. And God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them the rules. He gave them the Eden rules, okay, to play this game in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. He said, commanded the man, every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, thou shalt not have eaten, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. So these were the Eden rules for that Adamic game of life. Well, fortunately, in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Now, when I read that verse, it says, I'll make an helpmeet for him. I thought I knew what helpmeet meant. But I came to a whole new level of definition through this process of what helpmeet. I know just how much this means. You know, I looked up a couple of verses. I knew, of course, some in Ephesians there was, I believe it's in the Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Well, let me tell you, I've got a massive favor in my wife and I love her tremendously. And you know, another great lesson that I learned out of this game of life was how much love comes into part of the game of life. You know, we know that God commended His love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. You know, He freely chose to die for you and me. And we have a hard time understanding that, trying to fathom that. You know, in every phase of life we go through, when we get married, we start to learn more. When we have children, we start to learn more. You know, as parents. And then you have these different tribulations that come to you and it teaches you even more. But there are things that, you know, I wouldn't pay somebody to do during my moment of weakness, during when I was in the hospital, I couldn't stand. Yet, Kathy was there by my side without fail during my weakest hour. But, you know, not only was she there, but the Lord was there lifting us up and providing me a helpmeet that was just beyond compare. There were some good times, like the times when I had to go to the restrooms. You know, now the restroom was something that, you know, you never thought that at a point in time in your life you would long for the opportunity to go there by yourself. Okay? I mean, there are times when you think, well, I can't wait until I can have a little privacy. So what they did is, I fortunately never had to deal with the bedpan issue. They rolled this, you know, I call it the Humvee. It was kind of a Humvee potty into the room. And I had to get up out of bed and into that thing. And that's an event. It, you know, it took like 10 minutes just to do that. And if I was lonely, I knew all I had to do was get up and on that potty because invariably visitors would come at that moment. It was unbelievable. I mean, you talk about unbelievable. I mean, so there were good times when we were thinking, now who's going to... We tested it. One moment we said, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. Who's going to visit? And we started thinking about, who could it be? And literally, I'm right in position, and boom, someone comes barging through the door. And I think it was a delivery nurse for some flowers. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like, this is unbelievable. So there were some good times in that she was there to witness. But when we talk about the game of life, and we knew we were under the Adamic rules. The Adamic rules stated that when we're born sinners. We wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passes upon all men, for all have sinned. That is what was originally starting this game. Now, when we get to the game of life, there are fortunately some other rules that came along. We get to the point where we have Christ rules. Okay? Because, well, before we get to Christ rules, I think what was interesting and what I really learned a lot about this was we often try and play by our own rules. See, I was trying to, let me give you an example of this. When I was trying to learn how to stand again, the therapist would come in my room and they would get me up out of bed and into the chair. And then from the chair, I had to learn to get up and stand. Now, my left side's weak. Now, I'm normally a right-handed person, so many times I thank the Lord for for my left side going and not my right, because I can still write, no problem. But as I learned to stand, I would get up, and they would have this, that tray that kind of hovers over the bed. They'd have that there, and they'd make me get up on it. And boy, I would get up, and I used my right side way out. It wasn't an even get up. It was like, it's pretty much a right side mount, right? I'd get up and do that. And to this day, I still kind of walk favoring my right side. And I thought, how what a picture that is, that when we're weak, we think we can, depend on our strength. And here I was depending on my strength, which is my right side, to get me up. Yet, I had to learn to trust the left side, which was my weak side, because I had this big fear that if I put weight over that hip, I'm going. And, no one wants to get in that way, right? That's funny. Every physical therapist I've had has been about half my size. So they always walk around like this, like they're going to catch me. And I'm like, yeah, if I fall, no one's catching me. It's like, that's it. To this day, I think I gave many a therapist heart attack. Friday, I had a new physical therapist to fill in for that day. And for some reason, she wanted me to do this, aerobic type thing. So I go after it, and I'm all over the place. And I think she aged about 10 years right then. Every therapist in the room's like, if he's falling, there's no way. So I had to trust my weak side in order to get up and go there. And to trust my weak side was like, well, that was uncomfortable. See, I wanted to go with my strength, my right side, and trust my left side. There's a few verses I thought of. This is Jeremiah 9:23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You have three things here: wisdom, might, and riches. Well, I'm so on the wisdom. And on the riches, I was thankful I had a really good insurance, because I'm getting those bills in now. I don't have those kind of riches. But in my might, I've often, carried myself, because, I've been strong, right? And now I am weak. But in verse 24 it says, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So when we talk about in our own strength, we take so much for granted. Yet we walk around in our own strength that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're in control. Well, at this point, I feel like my strength is not there. I feel weak, Yet I know that Paul often said, when he was weak, that's when the Lord was strong. So I thought, my weakness, what could I do? I'm sitting there laying in bed, and these doctors are parading in, and I'm seeing one after another, and they weren't easy words. They were all like the same, like Kaplan, Kipperman, Kiefer. All K words, so you get those mixed up. And you're like, who are you talking to? Are you the cardiologist, Kiefer? No, I'm the hematologist. Oh, okay, well, I need to, I need the cardiologist. No, that's Kaplan. No, he's the neurologist. Okay, Kipperman is the cardiologist, and the neurologist. And I'm going, oh my gosh. So I started thinking, what can I do? And every doctor came in and said, are you a Christian? And it was interesting, because the answers I got were, no, I'm Baptist. No, I was born Jewish, but I'm nothing now. Or no, I'm Jewish. I don't know why, but when the person said I'm Jewish, I laughed. I said, well, that's okay. We'll talk. So I shared with him the book, Coming of Elijah. And I piqued his interest, because I said, a lot of Christians think that, they're spiritual Israel, but we're not trying to take from you. You're Israel, and you're going to be restored, and you have a place, and we're the members of God, and it's separate. So it was like, wait a minute, I'm sure his whole life Christians were saying, no, we're Israel now, So I started thinking, well, as I'm sharing the word here, I'm suffering here in bed. I'm laying weak. Is that what suffering meant? So I did a little quick study, and I said, no, these ails that we have from a fleshly perspective, that's not suffering. Suffering is a stand, taking a stand for the Lord. And when you're persecuted for that stand, That's the suffering. Suffering's not laying there with the stroke. I wanted it to be. I wanted it to count. I was like, Lord, is there a crown for stroke victim? Because, you know, the embarrassment of just doing the bathroom thing is pretty bad. And then ultimately I had to try and shower, you know, and I had to have nurses help me. And that was terrible. You know, that was like, you know, that was not fun. So, you know, I was just hoping for that crown of stroke. No, it's not. Suffering is for taking a stand for what's right in the Lord, for the scriptural thing. So then I thought, all right, so we need to play by Christ's rules when we're playing the game of life. And that's the advanced gameplay. See, if you want to go to advanced, and if you've ever, if you're a game-playing family, I know you've played games at home, and a lot of times when people come to play, you might ask them to sit down and start playing. A lot of times with Carter or with Clayton, you know, we'll start playing, and there's a temptation not to give them the rules. You know, because why? Because you're just going to beat them up down the field. There's a lot of joy in that, you know. So when you're playing the advanced game and you're playing by Christ rules, as Christians, when we invite people in to play the game of life, Christ life, okay, it's our job not only to invite them into the game, but it's our job to give them the instructions. Because if you have the instructions, guess what? You play the game better, right? But if you read the instructions, are you immediately the best game player? No, what happens? When you read the instructions, you understand the rules, but now you start to play game after game after game. An example, one of the things I had to do in therapy was play a game called Connect Four. And this was where it says a vertical, you know, checkers. And you have to put four in a row. And pick that checker up with this left hand, and to get my arm up, and to drop it in the right row was, for the first few days, it was an act of futility. I mean, I'd go, and I'd drop that checker, and it'd go flying. Well, little did they know, in the room I had an electronic version of that. So with my right hand, I've been there practicing. I play on the hardest level, so I see all the hard moves, and I get real good at it. So when my left hand started getting to the point where I could drop them, I challenged some of these therapists to the game, and I beat them, like, you know, up and down the field. Well, because one, I knew the rules, but two, I'd been practicing. I'd been exercising that game, preparing myself when it was, you know, time to play. So if we're going to play it by the advanced rules that are Christ rules, we not only have to invite people to play the game of life, which is to witness of salvation, but two, give them the rules to play the game correctly. And if you don't know the rules correctly, then you tend to get tossed to and fro on the game board. Because those who know how to play the game will basically be able to defeat you and do you well. So I started thinking of this analogy that if the game of life is what we're playing, and it's our job to not only give the rules, it's our calling to help people understand the Bible rightly divided. Because that's how they can then play by Christ's rules and play correctly. If they don't, if you're ignorant of the rules, you're just going to be a novice. Now, you can be playing the game, so you can be a Christian. Now, let's go to, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start at verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. There's that game, right? The game of life. That they may also obtain salvation. And then he says it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So if we're identifying, if we accept Christ as our Savior, this is in verse 11, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and we will live with him. If we suffer, and I kept wanting to say, okay, stroking suffering, stroking, and no, it's not. It's taking a stand for Christ. If you take a stand for Christ and do so, you suffer, we shall also reign with him. We know in Philippians 1:29 it says, we're to suffer for Christ's sake. We're called to suffer for Christ's sake. Let me just read that to you. Hold your place there. But see, I'm doing all this right-handed. You see, my therapist would beat me up and down the field. See how that elbow goes out? That's another bad thing I'm doing too. For unto you, Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. thought about that. You know, I'm sitting there asking these doctors, are they Christians? Did that take some nerve? You know, I was like, well, you know what? I've just had a stroke, and here the people are going to, you know, try and put me back to health. It was pretty easy. You know, I was able to ask them without fear of repercussion. I didn't think the doctor said, well, I'm offended. I'm not helping you, and I'm leaving, you know. And that wasn't suffering. You know, there are times when, though, when we all, in our game of life, as we walk, we're in a position where if we do take a stand, we do suffer because of the ridicule that we have. But yet, in this country, we still have a tremendous amount of freedom to share about this game of life. So back in Timothy, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Well, what does that mean? If we deny him, he will deny us? So, you know, we lose salvation there? No, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. See, this passage here is talking about this game of life and that the instructions that we're given train us to grow up and be better Christians. And that instructions is this right division, because literally it goes right into here. Verse 15, see, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in order to play by Christ's rules, you have to know this word, and you have to know it accurately, and you have to be able to compare the things that differ, and you have to know that, you know, once you're saved, you're in the game. But God didn't want you to just be in the game. He wants you to reign with him. He wants you to wield this word accurately and be the best player that you can be as you go out and you invite people to play the game. And that's what he wants you to do. So back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us up together in Christ. For by grace am I saved, and so are you. And he's raised us up together, and he made us sit together. You know, there was a time when I read that, and I was like, if I could just sit. You know, now I'm mobile, and now all I can do is if I could just do type. You know, I'm never satisfied. You know, flesh is never satisfied. I'll never be satisfied. But to know that he has raised me up and made me sit together in heavenly places with him. You know, my prayer now is that as I share this game of life with people, that I encourage them to get in the Word of God, that they can handle the Word accurately, to be approved unto him so that they can play the game to the best of their abilities as they invite others into this eternal life with Christ. But most of all, into this calling called the mystery that gives us the rules of how we're to play this game correctly. So I just want to thank this assembly as the tremendous support that they gave me throughout this challenge, this speed bump in the road. And again, I just want to say how much I love my wife, because how much she's done for me and continues to do for me. And just how much I love each and one of you for all the things you've done for our family. So I'm just really happy I'm able to get through this without crying today. So let's close in prayer before I break that promise. Okay. Father, just sharing some personal things today, Lord, and the challenges that I've had. Lord, we know that each one of us have challenges, whether it's health issues or family issues or work issues, that we all have these Adamic things that come to us and try and keep us focused on the earthly challenges that we have, Lord. But we know that you've asked us into this game of eternal life. And in this game, it is where we should learn to play by Christ's rules. And we thank you for the Word of God, that it's complete and that we've got access to it, that we can study it and learn it and just be approved in your sight, Lord. And we pray that each one of us would be a sunbeam that would share the love of Christ with those around us. And as we celebrate this season, continue to help us be a witness that it's all about Christ Jesus and the life that we have in him. So again, just thank you for all that you continue to accomplish, and for this assembly, and for the freedom to fellowship and just worship you. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.